The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
11 minutes after 7, State Representative Dwayne Junker joins the program here. Dwayne, great to have you back here. Have you lost your mind yet? How are you holding up here under the pressure of the mental illness known as the democratically controlled state legislative process? What say you this morning, huh? Morning.
I am holding up great. I've done a lot of things in my life, served with a lot of people, but I've never served with lunatics.
So that has changed now, huh? So this is something out of your bucket list. You are now serving with lunatics in the state legislature, huh?
Yes. You know, they are straight. I didn't think it could get this crazy. I didn't think they let mentally ill people into the legislature, but I was wrong, I guess.
All right. Now, see, you thought that there were challenges within the city of Grants Pass government system back when you were a Grants Pass city councilor, right? So the state legislature got nothing on that, huh? Or Grants Pass has nothing on this, right?
Yeah, Grants Pass has nothing on this. You know, we have our problems in Grants Pass, but it's not as crazy as the people coming out of the north of Oregon.
Okay. Could you explain a little bit of this? Because I just want to make sure that people understand the depths of the depravity. Of course, the last one that I heard the other day was that isn't there going to be a hearing today on celebrating black drag queens in Oregon? Because apparently there was some great storied history of black drag queens in the state. I could be wrong about this. Maybe you could explain a little bit of it. It's just nuts what I'm reading here.
Yeah, there's going to be a hearing. I mean, you could sign up to, you can write to, if you want to write in and express your feelings about HR3, which is House Resolution 3, that honors the history of black drag in Oregon, recognizing the honor and the history of black drag in Oregon. This is what we're going to spend our time on. Instead of focusing on education, business, inflation, cost of living, or jobs, or whatever, we're going to talk about the black drag queens.
Who actually sponsored this bill, do you know?
Oh, yes. The list of crazy, well, Representative Nelson, which, you know, he is black.
Okay.
He is gay, which is fine, whatever. You know, I've had many conversations with Nelson. We shake hands and talk about things. And then we got the Isidore, which she's black too, which is very disappointing that she's a former Marine, but she's from Portland. You got Anderson, Chichelli, Fragola, Gamba, Hudson, Lively, Marsh, our friend Marsh, you know, from Ashland. McDonald, Munoz, Neron, No, Sanchez, Valderrama, Walters, and Watanabe.
All right.
All the
is there a large constituency demanding this representation or this recognition of the? I mean, I've never gone to a drag queen event in Oregon, I don't think, in my lifetime, much less a black drag queen one. What's driving this, you think?
Oh, I think what's driving this is Representative Nelson. He likes to push the envelope. You know, he's a gay man, which is, again, fine.
Now, aren't these the same people that are also pushing reparations because they're so oppressed, but yet they're in power in the state legislature? I'm just trying to figure this out, all right?
Yeah, these are the same people that want reparations, but, you know, the reparations they're talking about, you know, Nelson always talks about a sharecropper ancestry, but there weren't sharecroppers here in Oregon. You know, that wasn't happening.
Nobody here in Oregon owned a slave. Nobody worked as a slave. Well, except for tax slaves. I mean, we're all on the tax farm for the state of Oregon, really. Those are the only slaves that live in Oregon, as far as I'm aware of, Representative. Where am I wrong on that?
That would be the working man woman that is slave to the giving our tax dollars to the Democrats to pay for. You know, black drag queen story hour, probably. I don't know.
Now, in all seriousness, though, this is a serious philosophical question, okay?
Yeah.
Is there a possibility, Dwayne, that they come up with this kind of nonsense, black drag queen celebrations in there, because they don't have any real solutions for what really ails the system, and so they have to make it look like they're doing something? After all, they are termed lawmakers. I don't know. It could be. What do you think?
No. I think this is their philosophy. They want to push this ideological stuff on us. They're very confused about history. You know, we had Representative Watanabe yesterday on the House floor and do her remonstrance about Japanese being put into encampments, which I agree with her. My stepfather-in-law, for my wife's stepdad, family was put into a camp, and it was bad.
Yeah, and that was a very, very dark part of American history. Yeah. Absolutely, no doubt.
And she wants to compare it to Trump, and well, you know, Franklin Roosevelt was a Democrat. She didn't talk about that. He was a Democrat that did this. You know, she wants to, you know, he was a Democrat. Most of the Democrat bad things came under Democratic presidents.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to conflate, real injustices in which people are rounded up and put in camps with federal money not coming to fund the whacking off of genitalia at federal taxpayer expense, right? Is that kind of how they conflate it with, lack of civil rights or attack on rights?
They think it's the civil rights that these people deserve to get medical treatment. They call it medical treatment. I call it mutilation to children to change their body, that God gave them. And, none of us are perfect. You're short, I'm tall. It's how things are, that's what we were given. It's just life, and we have to live with what we are given. And these people are, have some kind of dysphoria with their body, which, I think all of us have times that we're like, man, I wish I could change this. I wish I wasn't fat.
Up until about 4 or 5 years ago, gender dysphoria is well known, and that it was a mental illness, and that most of the time, especially with children, kids tended to grow out of it. There was a long history of this. And now Oregon decided to go full scale in on this, including OHSU becoming a huge profit center for the mutilation industry, right? And so is this just reaction, though, that the federal gravy train that has paid for a lot of this is coming to an end? Is that really any?
I think they have been abusing the taxpayers to, experiment on children. And, Mr. Trump, the president, has said we're no longer going to do this. I think everybody's eyes are opening up to the waste and abuse of our taxpayer dollars. I mean, every day you're like, if you're me, I'm looking like shocked. And, we had 150-year-olds getting Social Security or something really crazy. You're like, what? Just the inefficiencies of what's happening in our government. And we haven't even touched Oregon. I'm sure it's just as bad here in the Oregon. If we had a doge here in Oregon, we'd find all the extra money hidden somewhere that's probably going to NGOs.
It's interesting that in Alaska, they've actually formed their own version of DOGE for this very reason, to look at their own state finances, which I thought was pretty interesting. But of course, I think there's probably a little more Republican control over there, so they're friendlier to that kind of look. But yeah, the NGO situation is something that you have talked about for quite some time, even when it comes to homelessness. And, what is the term that they use when it comes to for the NGOs such as Stab and Wagon and others that are out helping harm reduction? That's what it is. Under the guise of harm reduction, taxpayers are paying for clean needles, and they're paying for shooting galleries and, all those sort of things. And I think there's a serious need to look at that here at the state level. But I would imagine that your Democratic colleagues are not in favor of this at all.
Well, I think there was a thing. I think it was last week that the governor got scolded about. She wanted to pay for more harm reduction, and then they took that money away or whatever. It was from, I think, the federal government money. Mm-hmm. And I could be just paraphrasing a little bit wrong there, but why aren't we treatment? How about treatment? We have less treatment beds. There was a
And that's an actually very good question, because if I were a drug-addicted homeless person and wanting to get better, all right, and I'm sure that they exist here, Dwayne, State Representative Dwayne Junker with me this morning, where would they go right now? What kind of situation is there available? Because supposedly so much reform was done over the last couple of years on the street drug bills and Measure 113, not Measure 113, was it 114? I'm starting to forget.
110.
110, sure. Thank you. That was the legalized the drug kind of deal a number of years ago. part of the reform was that there was going to be more treatment available. Has that occurred yet? And what is the status of that? Do you know?
No, I would totally disagree with you. I listened to the city council's briefing from the homeless, the whole homeless thing here about a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was OnTrack speaking. And I remember OnTrack speaking a little over 2 years ago, and they said the wait was around 160. And now they're saying it's over 300 people waiting to get into treatment. So it's getting worse. There's no beds. It's got less beds today. And you know, to just to caveat this, if we can get these people into treatment or do good things for them, you know, I had a really good, you know, we talk a lot about a lot of bad things. But there's a lot. There's good things happening. There is good things happening in Oregon. And, you know, one of the things we were talking about yesterday in one of my committees is educating people in prison and how successful that's been in Oregon. Why don't we talk more about that? You know, people getting out with degrees, they're able to get jobs, you know.
They will be able to return and be productive, I guess, is what you're talking about. Seeing that would be a positive thing. And that's also, though, why the drug treatment is needed for the drug-addicted homeless folks. Because, you know, there's been all this focus on, well, we have to have shelters or we have to have a place to put them. They have to have housing. And this was the housing first push that came out of the Obama administration. The challenge that you run into is that someone who is just under the guise of a serious fentanyl addiction is not going to be working, is not going to be capable of taking care of whatever housing is given to them. And that seems to have gotten lost. Has the state legislature come around to seeing this reality here?
I don't believe, you know, the one representative that controls housing and homelessness in the state is Pam Marsh. She is the chair of this committee. So nothing gets passed or gets to talk about unless Pam Marsh approves this. She is the chair. You know, I believe that, you know, someone that's been addicted for many, many years needs to go away. They need to get out of Grants Pass. They need to get out of Medford, Roseburg, wherever it's at, and get out of the community for, you know, maybe 6 months to a year.
Yeah, they need to get out of the addiction supporting community is what they need to get away. Get away from it,
maybe,
right?
Go to Eastern Oregon where there's nothing out there and work on self. You know what I'm saying? Work on their self. Not only their self, maybe get them stuff if they don't have a GED or high school diploma.
Yeah, and getting away from the other criminals that might be in the same encampments in the drug addict areas, right? That sort of thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So not to make it a prison, but you're going to work on yourself and fix the things that made you addiction and your addiction get to where it's at or whatever, and just work through these things. And it can't be 30 days. 30 days is not going to fix somebody. A lot of these people have a lot of trauma, and that trauma just keeps getting worse because if you're in the addiction, you're probably having more trauma because of that lifestyle, and it just keeps compounding. And you're not growing as an adult. We need to get these people, you know, away from their environment and get them stabilized and work on themselves. Why can't we talk about that instead of...
Well, wouldn't it be safe to say that the ACLU's influence on homelessness policy may have some effect on it? Because any attempt to not enable this seems to result in yet another lawsuit against various cities. Where am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I think that's where, you know...
And by the way, I'm not saying that people don't have good intentions, but, you know, just letting people set up their homelessness and drug addiction centers in various city parks is not helping them get better, I guess is what I'm getting at here, Duane.
No. I know we're going to talk about homelessness, but, you know, look at Grants Pass right now. They're in this new lawsuit and, you know, whatever. You know, it's just now you have to have ADA approved for people with this lifestyle that, you know, there's probably some good people that are down the luck, but there's a lot of bad people and the destruction. I'm here in Salem and I drive around and I'm looking. The disease of being homelessness is so bad with the trash and the garbage and the theft. Just that community. Why do we accept this? Why do we put up with this? This is not right.
Is there any evidence, though? Because I hear that other cities such as Salem don't have as much of a problem. It's the state capital. Do you see much of a homelessness problem there?
I do, and you have to go to the right places. You have to go on the outskirts. So Kaiser, the city of Kaiser, doesn't. And here's the difference between Kaiser and Salem, though. They're very right on top of each other. If you didn't know the difference, you wouldn't know. But Salem has all the nonprofits, the giveaway stuff here in Salem, so they're going to stay in Salem. Now, Kaiser doesn't have any of that, so they all stay around Salem so they can get the free stuff and stuff that, you know, continues their lifestyle.
So offering homelessness services, unfortunately, ends up bringing it to your front door, I guess, is what you're saying.
I would say that that's the reason why they're here. If there wasn't free stuff here or enabling their lifestyle, they would not be sitting at the doorsteps or right around the, you know, they're not on the Capitol, but you go to the outskirts and you could see them in certain areas. Now, the longer I'm here, I find where they're at. You know, I'm just, well, I didn't know they were in that street or whatever. Yeah.
Has there been any real proposals for additional changes or tweaks to legislation to get to a more common sense, actually helping these individuals recover from their demons rather than enabling the demonship?
I do not think that Representative Marsh wants to talk about this. As of right now, I find it
fascinating that both representatives and senators seem to be the linchpin of an amazing amount of drama and disorder here in Southern Oregon. Don't you find interesting that interesting when you look back at a 50,000-foot level and examine that?
Yeah, in Southern Oregon, our two biggest problems right now in Southern Oregon are the fire maps and the homeless. The two biggest problems. And the two people that are in charge of those areas are Senator Golden and Pam Marsh. They are the linchpins. And they're not originally from Oregon. They came here. I don't know what they came here for. You know, I've talked to Marsh up here, Pam Marsh, and say hi to her, you know, cordial. But, you know, she is embedded. She will not change her thinking. You know, they probably look at me like
you're a caveman Neanderthal, right?
Yeah.
You're probably thinking that they caught something from shaking your hand, most likely.
Yeah, I'm the only House representative that's in the wildfire extreme and the wooey, myself and Senator Robinson, the only two people in the state, and we have the lawsuit for homelessness in Grants Pass. So you can put the two and two together. But there's an attack on Southern Oregon.
It really does appear to be an attack of an agenda, you know, really. And to deny the reality, I think that this is a political hit job under the guise of, well, we're going to protect you from your wildfire and we're going to protect you from those meanies that would make you get drug treatment, I guess. Hey, before we take off, speaking of the wildfire map, there's a part of me that looks at what the governor announced the other day, that she's going to pause the administrative action on additional administrative appeals here. They're not going to do this until after the state legislative session is over. I am a little suspicious that this could be a fake job to get maybe people just to go to sleep and not file any additional appeals or flood their administrative state there. Do you have that suspicion, or is there something else going on here that maybe they will be killing this and the wildfire risk map is just going to be a dead issue? What do you think?
Well, first of all, everybody needs to file an appeal. I have not done mine yet. Mm-hmm. I've been waiting, and it's sitting on my desk. It's been sitting on my desk up here since I got it when I came up here. Everybody needs to file their appeal. Everybody needs to complain and not stop complaining. The only reason she put that message out is because of people complaining and telling what they're doing to people's property rights.
So this is reaction then to the public input, the true public input, rather than the computer models doing the input,
yeah,
right?
This is a reaction because they know the heat's on. And I'm up here, I would say, keep the heat on. Don't let up. I mean, put your foot on their throat. And that's the only way we're going to stop this. I know everybody's going to be, a lot of people are going to be up here next Tuesday for the rally, you know, mm-hmm. on the Capitol. I encourage many people to be here. I'll be speaking on that, on our property rights and what they're doing to Southern Oregon. I've seen this happen for 50 years, basically. You know, I'm not, I haven't been here almost 50 years, but it's 40 some years now. And you know what? They've been taking our property rights away for that many years. you know, when it started with the logging and the protesting. You know,
and it also started with Senate Bill 100 in the early 1970s, the whole concept of the state of Oregon controlling all the land in the state, everything.
Exactly. They control the land. This is not about my property or my neighbor's property. This is about government-owned property. They're the one that needs to fix the problem. They created the problem and stop attacking my property and my rights. I didn't do anything wrong. My neighbor didn't do anything wrong.
Well, in essence, what the wildfire map is about is convicting your property before anything happens is what they're doing. It's like they're charging you with wildfire potential crimes before it even happens. It's kind of like Minority Report for your property, you know?
Yes.
We can see in the future with our soothsayers that your property shall burn. Hence, we will, you know, whatever, you know, give these rules to you.
Grants Pass is Tree City USA for many decades, I think, now.
Yeah, Tree City used to be a good thing, right? Now it's not.
I was going to talk about that next Tuesday. It was like, we used to be Tree City USA, and we're so good for planting trees, and now trees are bad.
Okay. I know. You know, you just can't make this stuff up there. Well, I imagine you're going to be a yes vote, though, on the Black Drag Queen bill, right? You're gonna get all over that.
You know it, Bill. It's so ridiculous.
Hey, stay strong, Dwayne. Stay strong, okay? You're a stronger man than me. I know you have your meetings that you got to get to, but keep in touch, all right? We'll talk soon. Be well.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
He's just going nuts. Can you blame him? It's 7:33. State Representative Dwayne Junker, Junkyard Dog. Rawr! And the dog is hungry, that is for sure. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Joel here at Butherford and Truck Center. And you know how I spell transparency? INVOICE. Invoice, as in how we now post the invoice on every single new Ford every day. While other dealers only show you the suggested retail price and make you negotiate for a discount at Butler Ford, you'll see the posted invoice right away, and we'll talk about a price that's fair to both of us. Let's face it, we're all busy. Let's use transparency, aka invoice, to make the car deal go faster. Come on down to Butler Ford, walk the lot, and see the invoices posted on all the vehicles. That's my F-150 Super Duty's Escapes. Yeah, the invoices are posted. Broncos and Rangers, Explorers and Expeditions, even Mustangs and Mach-Es. Invoices posted. It's not just a better way to buy. It's a more friendly and magnanimous experience. And you know how to spell magnanimous?
Yeah, me either.
Come see us at Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, off of exit 19, where you already know. We've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, and all invoices posted on our new car.
With your tax refund on the way, Good Guys Guns has an offer that's just too good to ignore. It's Good Guys Guns Tax Day Refund Layaway Plan. With a Good Guys Layaway Plan, you have 45 days to pay off your favorite firearm, optic, holster, or anything else you want from Good Guys Guns. It's so simple, even Doge would approve. So don't delay. Get to Good Guys Guns and take advantage of Good Guys Guns Tax Day Layaway Plan. Good Guys Guns, your firearm leader at 4934 Crater Lake Avenue, Medford. Good Guys Guns.
Good Guys Guns.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Meyer and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance, Father and Son Jewelry, Pacific Healthcare Training, BM Auto Works, and Wash Buggy Rap Lab.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
I appreciate you waking up here to the craziness, the good news, the weird news, and just the out insane stuff here, too, for that matter. We're going to have a Diner 62 quiz, a real American quiz, right after news, all right? And Diner 62, man, I got to tell you, just love the food there. Juicy third-pound burgers, satisfying sandwiches. They serve it with your choice of the fries, the tatty salad, the coleslaw, and or a cup of soup. You can upgrade with onion rings or sweet potato fries. I love sweet potato fries. I think those are some of the best there. And on special right now on the weekends, they have two pork chops, and there's a really good pork chops, by the way. Pork chops and eggs or 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekends. I mean, real protein. Not just a carbalicious fest, although I love the carbs too. And we'll give you a $20 gift certificate if you can answer today's question. And it's about this week in history. It's about broadcasting. about international broadcasting. Broadcasting during the Cold War, all right? 770-563-3770-KMED. All I ask is that you have not won this in the last 60 days, but you can win it next on KMED.
Rev up your engines, folks. American Wrencher Garage is putting on the brakes this season, ending the high cost of vehicle repairs with their exclusive offer. Discounted Oregon e-deal certificates good for a whopping $75 off any service. Whether it's a routine checkup, oil change, brake repair, or full-on engine overhaul, trust the expert technicians to get the job done right. Visit OregonEDeals.com to snag your discounted certificate. Drive in. Save big. American Wrencher Garage, across from Elmer's on Biddle.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer. Always appreciate you listening, no matter the time. Live 6 to 9 weekdays on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KBXG. I'm here for you. But life has a way of getting busy. So if you miss a show and you want to catch up, or you just have a different schedule, well, that's what my podcasts are for. The last 3 months or so of my shows available for free download and sharing on KMED.com or BillMeyerShow.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They're helping keep you current. Find out about their services on ClouserDrilling.com.
News brought to you by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A former Rogue River School District teacher and coach, Jesse Orndorff, pleaded not guilty Tuesday afternoon to more than 30 charges related to alleged sexual abuse of a teenage former student. Orndorff's charges include sex abuse, rape, and sodomy that allegedly occurred between 2021 and 22 at Rogue River Junior Senior High School. Orndorff was arrested Friday. He recently taught at Rogue Christian Academy in Grants Pass. Investigators believe there may be other victims. Cryptocurrency scams appear to be increasing in Southern Oregon. The Josephine County Sheriff's Office says they've received numerous reports from victims. Various scams include references to PayPal, Norton Antivirus, and LifeLock. Scammers pretend to be from law enforcement or financial institutions and may even provide convincing documents about your accounts. U.S. Attorney for the District of Oregon, Natalie White's been fired by the White House. She was appointed by President Biden. The first U.S. attorney is now acting U.S. Attorney for Oregon. Bill London, KMED.
Take the Long Way Home was one of four hit singles off Supertramp's 1979 album, Breakfast in America. If you find yourself losing your sanity and taking the long way home because of growing cracks in your ceilings and walls, give Millett Construction a call for a free estimate to fix the damage and correct your foundation problem. Stop thinking you never see what you want to see because your home used to be so nice. With Millett's help, it can be again. Visit MillettConstruction.com.
Just look at it.
Yeah, it looks great in the moonlight.
And talk about quiet operation. We're not waking up the neighbors.
So smooth and sleek. American Industrial Door knows their stuff.
Okay, it's my turn. Give me the remote.
Mom? Dad?
Yeah?
Are you gonna stop playing with the new garage door soon?
Go back to bed, sweetie.
If your garage door is keeping you up at night, it should be for all the right reasons. Visit AmericanIndustrialDoor.net.
K4VIN 016551 MSRP 24145-5999 due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, one available, Telluride dealer discount, five available, all incentives and discounts to dealer plus tax, title license, 150 registration processing fee, trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt, negative equity applied to new loan balance, ends 3225.
Ready to go? You've got the green light at Kia Medford. During the green light savings event, shop our huge selection of brand new Kias, like the all new 2025 Kia K4 LXS. Just $159 a month lease for 24 months. Or every new 2025 Kia Telluride in stock with $2,000 off MSRP. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Don't wait. Drive a K4, $159 a month, or Telluride, $2,000 off. Save big when the green light is on at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Is the homemade potato salad as good as mom's? Maybe. Bring mom for a trial sample to Diner 62.
Indeed, we're giving away a Diner 62 $20 gift certificate right now with the Real American Quiz. And we have Chuck. Hello, Chuck. How are you doing?
Doing good, thanks.
All right, Chuck, we're going to see if we can make you a winner here. It was this week in 1947 that the Voice of America, that's the America International shortwave broadcaster there, started broadcasting to those poor commies over in Russia. And with the war's with the words, rather, "Hello, this is New York calling." The U.S. Voice of America started its first broadcast to the Soviet Union. VOA effort, an important part of America's propaganda campaign against the Soviets during the Cold War. After the war, VOA continued as part of our propaganda arsenal, and they directed this primarily to Western Europe. And so in February, VOA starts the first Russian language broadcast, and they wanted to give listeners in the USSR a picture of life in America, news and stories and human interests and music, the bulk of it. The question for you this morning, Chuck, when did the Voice of America stop broadcasting in Russia? So they're not doing any Russian broadcast any longer. When did they do this? Was it A, 1988? Was it B, 1995? Was it C, 2002? Was it D, 2008? Or E, it never stopped broadcasting? It's still in Russian today. What do you say?
I say the last one.
It never stopped.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chuck. I'm pulling for you. But yeah, it did stop. But it was in one of these four. Let me go to Jerry next. Hello, Jerry. How you doing?
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Doing great. 1988, 1995, 2002, or 2008. When did the VOA stop broadcasting in Russian?
I'm going to say 1988.
You're going to say 1988, going back there right before the fall. That's a good guess. No, it was later than that, apparently. We kept it going. Let me go to John. Hi, John.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
All right, so it's not 1988. You are one of three possibilities here. When did the Voice of America stop broadcasting in Russian? 95, 2002, or 2008? What do you say?
Well, it sort of makes sense, 1995 to me, anyway.
You're thinking 1995. It makes sense. I guess not. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Gosh, we're getting to the end here. Kevin, you are a 50-50 choice here, 2002 or 2008. When did the Voice of America stop Russian broadcast?
Let's go with 2002.
Is it 2002? No, it's not that either. Oh, my gosh, we're down to the end. Brian's going to be very happy about this. He writes the quizzes. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Chuck again.
Hey, okay, well, Chuck, 2008 or 2008?
Eight.
Yeah, you got it. No, wait a minute. Wrong one. Sorry.
Yo!
I was just getting used to hitting the loser button.
Yeah.
But yeah. They ended it in 2008, continues to provide content across all platforms and formats. And I guess here's the deal, though. The first program was fairly dry. Music on the program kind of eclectic. In fact, due to bad weather and technical problems, the sound quality for our Russian audience was generally pretty poor. It did improve somewhat over the years because we found out that one way we could really get into the Russian heart was to play lots of American jazz. And the Ruskies just loved American jazz. They were just insatiable for that. So that ended up being a lot of Voice of America's programming there for a while. Hang on there. Congratulations. Off the Diner 62 with ye. And it is open phone time here on Wheels Up Wednesday at 770-5633. We can talk about anything on your mind. I have a couple of things on my mind, including Generation Z. What could be done to help bring Generation Z into the workplace and not have them getting fired? There's a lot of stories about there now making the news, including in Forbes. And I'll share a story with you I was reading next.
We've heard it all.
The kids, they dropped the cargo box on the hood.
A 3-car collision in the driveway? Yes, it's possible.
I suppose that's why they call it a learner's permit.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Speed, service, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Hi, this is Megan at Mini Pet Mart. Over the last 8 years, Mini Pet Mart, with its vendors and customers, have raised over $340,000 for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, furthering their mission to cure childhood cancer. We are excited again to be the title sponsor of the St. Jude Country Cares for Kids Radiothon on Q100.3 on Thursday and Friday, February 27th and 28th, because we know how special children are to you, because they are to us too. So please stop by any Mini Pet Mart or News and Smokes, plus M Street Market and the Market in Delhi and Grants Pass. We'll put your name on a St. Jude pinup, display it in our store, and match all donations up to $40,000. Mini Pet Mart thanks you for supporting our stores and for supporting St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, where no family ever receives a bill for travel, food, lodging, and medical care. With all of our help, they are finding cures and saving children, and they won't stop until no child dies of cancer.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precision and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease and quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today to get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736. CCB number 250730.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Got something on your mind? Give Bill a shout at 541-770-5633. 770-KMED.
Open phone time here, and we always appreciate that. I'm actually happy with the USDA talking about, hey, if we're going to give out SNAP benefits, that we should say you can't buy junk food. I think that's a pretty reasonable way to go, don't you? One question I'd like to float to you, though, as part of this SNAP benefit reform that is being discussed, is what do you think qualifies as junk food? Because, you know, if you were to go to the government food pyramid, you're supposed to be eating nothing but carbs, carb, 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 carb. And so you could just carb yourself to death, and that's perfectly healthy, even if you will have diabetes, you know, from doing a lot of this. You know, that's a lot of it. So, you know, how would you actually figure that out? Maybe some what should qualify as good food, but probably would not be considered good food. You know, these days they've been trying to get rid of meat because of climate. You know, that kind of stuff. So they don't want people eating meat. They would be saying, well, you should be eating, you should be eating pasta with durum wheat from the Midwest, let's say, that has Roundup sprayed on it. I mean, maybe we can talk about these kind of things, and you should get that with your SNAP benefit. I don't know if that'll necessarily help. All right. Well, we could have that and anything else on your mind. Let me go to, who do we have online? It's Jim. Hey, Jim, you wanted to talk about Ashland. Oh, Jim, you took off. Jim, call back. I get you on right away. He thought I was going to change topics on him. Jim, get back, okay? 770-5633. Well, we do have another Ashland call. And that would be Lucretia. Hello, Lucretia. Oh, by the way, you know how that your theme from Jesus Christ Superstar, wasn't that where that came from? No. It's Hair. That came from Hair. I'm sorry. But I understand that they are having like a black lesbian playing the part of Jesus Christ in the next revival of Jesus Christ Superstar. Isn't that great? I just love progressivism.
Fantastic. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, Bill. Oh, my God. This is the first time I've gone to one of these things, but so I don't know how they normally are, but it took a whole hour. We had to go through.
Okay, now, what thing did you go to? What did you go to?
The Ashland meeting for,
Oh, so you were at an Ashland City Council meeting, and what, were they talking about the natural gas, getting rid of the natural gas? Okay.
And we had to wait a whole hour before we got to talk, but even then it was like, we had to go through, it's going to be Black History Month or whatever for, the blacks. And then there was all these other little details you couldn't hear. It was like, blah, 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 And so we had to wait for that. So finally, they have 45 people they're going to talk. And when you walk up, there's a huge sign with all these kids out. It's fossil free, fossil free, free ashes, fossil free. You okay?
Uh-huh.
These kids, just tons of kids, just like the caller on Friday said, or Thursday before you took off, this is just nuts, and you too, that kids should know what we need. And it was really frustrating because not only does Tanya herself just, her first thing she said is that we've got to stop this climate change. Oh, the weather in the, back east is so bad. And then another one of the council members, sells solar. He says, but that's not why I'm, concerned about this. That's separate. Anyway.
Okay. Are they prepared for people to die at some point when we get another cold snap? Or does that not matter? I'm just curious.
They gave us 1 minute to talk, and they put through all 30, 35 people that said, you need to pass this. And you know where the money's going, don't you?
It's going to the city, if I understand correctly, isn't it?
It's going to the homeless.
Oh, so in order to save the homelessness from being out on the cold streets, we're going to make sure that everybody inside a house is cold. Got it. That makes perfect sense to me. All right.
So we got 1 minute to talk, and I probably should have said, you know, just some kind of satire or something. But, you know, it's like, oh, man, how do you even begin to address this? I mean, they're wanting to stop the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. We're living in the area of all these national forests and all these trees, and it just all the leaves dying every year are far more carbon released than all our cars and, you know, use of energy. And so I mentioned that. I mentioned about the ships. This, you know, 16 ships puts out more carbon than all the cars on the earth. And I, you know, what else did I talk
about? Yeah, you talk about the big bunker oil burning transport ships, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she wants to stop the carbon. I'm like, my God, I don't.
What did anybody actually have the temerity to say? Like, by the way, you are carbon. You are emitting carbon right now. Do you not understand that the whole carbon agenda is really an anti-life agenda?
No, they just put down all these. You know, now we didn't get to talk. I mean, there's no way you can rationalize. You can no way to ask a question. So, what's the difference between you breathing out carbon or somebody, you know, all this electricity, which supposedly we're getting a lot of it? One guy told me from the gas.
We are. That's one of the reasons I was talking with Glenn Archambault yesterday about the natural gas pipelines here in Southern Oregon and how they're talking about expanding it because it's the only way they can make the so-called green energy pencil because it doesn't work all the time. You have to have something instantly available to ramp up when the wind stops and or the sun doesn't shine, right? That's what happens.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like these kids don't know, and fossil free. I mean, I wanted to ask them, how many of you drove here? How many of you rode your bicycle tonight because you're so worried about carbon?
Oh, I know. Well, thank you for sharing some of the interesting aspects of public comment in a city which is in solidly in the grip of an anti-carbon climate cult. That's
100%.
Truly there.
They all voted for it. Just blew my mind when there's no relationship. It's just ridiculous, and they want to give it to the homeless, and it's crazy.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing it, Lucretia. It's an interesting little slice of life there in the South County. Good morning. Hi. Who's this?
Oh, hello?
Hi.
Oh, hi, Bill. It's Francine.
Well, hello, Francine. How are you this fine day?
I'm doing pretty good.
You know, it's really great to hear, you know, Lucretia, who calls the show, talking about craziness, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, Lucretia is my good friend, and I hear it all the time.
Somehow that doesn't surprise me in the least. All right.
Well, you know, I wanted to remind us all about how the children have always been used, particularly by the left, as a means to push their agenda in a way that you can't say anything bad about the children. You know, I mean, remember when Obama was, you know, the big deal and the teachers were having their children sing little songs about Obama and was on YouTube and on the news and all. I mean, they always use the children because it's just really ugly if you say anything bad about what the children are doing.
In other words, we will use the children as the stalking horse for our Marxist ideology, in other words.
Oh, yeah, and they've completely, you know, brainwashed most of the children. I mean, thank God my granddaughter does go to public school, which was really a hard thing to accept. My son and I tried to change that, but it didn't go over very well. So she's in public school, but he talks to her, and she knows. She knows when they're giving her a line, you know. So thank God we're able to get through that in pretty good shape. But generally speaking, it's terrifying what they're doing to the children and to the children's brains. So yeah, using children as a front, you know, it's kind of like put them on the front line and let so people won't shoot us.
And you always know that there's going to be a grift or a racket running. I recall after the school shootings how you end up getting the David Hogs, and now David Hogg is now, you know, talking about being up there in the high mucky muck of the Democratic control grid sort of deal.
I know.
And it really is one of those things, put crying children out in front of people, and this means you have to shred the Constitution and deindustrialize and destroy people's lives, you know, and that's it. And so you have to understand this. And as far as I'm concerned, what the city of Ashland is doing with their inculcation is akin to child abuse. It will be seen as child abuse at some point. Unfortunately, not for a number of years, I guess, until
probably a number of decades.
Yeah, it could be. And then they will be, and those kids will likely be like me and realizing that, oh my gosh, I'm having to spend my adult life recovering from what I was told 40, 50
Hopefully
years ago.
At least get to that point, Bill, because a lot of them will just continue on. I mean, you know, I can't even tell you the stuff that I go through sometimes with the people where I live, lovely, lovely people, don't get me wrong, but they are so indoctrinated into the Democratic point of view. And we just got into it again the other day. Just, you know, I cannot talk to them. You know, they actually said to me that, oh, Kamala ran circles around Trump. You know, talking about intelligence.
Huh.
She ran circles around him. That's, they believe this.
By the way, I wanted to, I'm glad you brought that story up because I had a piece of audio here I wanted to use. And let's see if I can bring it up here. I don't know if you read this story, but the Federal Communications Commission is now fast-tracking President Donald Trump's request for internal memos and discussions about the CBS News interview with Kamala Harris. Remember that late last year?
Well, yeah, I didn't watch it, but I read about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a hard time looking at that.
And
stuff.
So this is it. This is one of the conversations that was in the and this was prior to the election, right? And this is the Trump administration, of course, saying that this was election interference, what CBS was engaging in. I'm going to play the two audio pieces. This is what Kamala Harris actually said on 60 Minutes in the raw tape, and then I'll play the edited version, okay?
Okay, yeah, I haven't heard that.
Okay, this is what she said in one section.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
Well, Bill, the work that we have done has resulted in a number of movements in that region by Israel that were very much prompted by or a result of many things, including our advocacy for what needs to happen in the region.
Okay, could you understand what she said?
Yeah, she said absolutely nothing.
Okay, great. So you understand that much.
Yeah.
This is what CBS aired on 60 Minutes, though.
But it seems that Prime Minister Netanyahu is not listening.
We are not going to stop pursuing what is necessary for the United States to be clear about where we stand on the need for this war to end.
That's what actually made the airwaves.
Yeah, so they took that out of another section of the talk and inserted it instead of what she actually said.
Apparently so. Apparently so. Yeah,
yeah.
And I don't know where this is going to go as far as legalities, but FCC is actually going to say, all right, CBS, cough up the memos. Get the popcorn. Could be an interesting time. You know?
This is great. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that this is making some headway. It's about time.
All right. Appreciate the call there, Francine. Let me grab one more before news time. Good morning. Hi, who's this? Welcome.
This is John.
Hi, John.
Yeah, back in, I think it was, 67, 8, Nixon was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to high school in Grants Pass. And as an opportunity, we were allowed to ride a school bus over to Medford High School, where he was walking through. And
Richard visited the area during the campaign? Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
And the handlers had all the students line up in a line so that Nixon could have young people's support for his campaign,
mm-hmm.
so that the cameras could play on us.
Oh, so it was a photo op. Okay, got it.
So some things never change.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess not. Was he already president at that point or just running?
I think he was running.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when did you go to school again?
I graduated 68.
Okay, so you graduated. Yeah, he had not become president yet. He was definitely running that year. I wonder if you know, in those days, there was such a hatred of the Vietnam War that they were looking at Nixon as the preferred candidate in the educational system, even. I wonder if that was the bias they were coming from. What do you think?
I don't know. It was just what stuck me at that time. It just kind of wet in my face that they're just using us for a photo op.
Yeah, could be. Hey, appreciate the call. Thanks for sharing the story. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Minor Dave again.
Hey, Dave.
I wanted to talk about the firing of the U.S. attorneys. It's because they want to start prosecuting government officials like the Sheriff's Department for impeding illegal aliens.
So you think that a lot of that has to do getting rid of these U.S. attorneys like the one in Portland that got fired yesterday? Okay.
Right. I think there's going to be indictments eventually coming down on like the lawsuit they did in New York with the governor and like that. And I can think that, Oregon's law is similar.
Oh, there's nothing different about the way that Oregon runs its treatment of sanctuary cities and all the rest of it, as like Chicago and Illinois and other ones that are under the attack by A.G. Bondi. So, yeah, maybe that is part of it. You have to get rid of the U.S. attorney's offices and get some more people that are more down with the Trump agenda. This could be part of it. Could be right about that, Dave. Thanks for the call. Couple minutes after 8, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. We're going to break for Town Hall News here in just a moment. Kim Komando, Digital Update, and so much more. And then Joe Gazzardi talking about, he kind of wrote a piece, or I think it's interesting because he's a big immigration and illegal immigration analyst and getting into this and trying to help out our Democratic friends to find their way out of the wilderness. It's kind of fun, but we'll kick that around coming up. And also, how American citizens really, according to the latest employment numbers, are really taking it in the shorts, and illegal aliens got most of those jobs. We'll kick that around and more coming up.